What's going on, y'all? This is DJ Mies from the Double M Show, and unfortunately, we reached technical difficulties for like the first 10 minutes of the show. Something happened and our audio got lost, and honestly, very, very sorry about that, but stick around. I'm telling you guys, this was a really dope show. On the playlist, we spoke on John Singleton and his passing, then we moved on to Tyreek Hill. And, you know, the case of his child abuse. Then we had a really fun topic on whether it's okay to be dating your friend's ex. And then we close it out speaking on the Red Sox and Chris Sale. Super dope show. What we're about to do right now is just jump in to the middle of the conversation of John Singleton and his, you know, his passing and the legend that he was. Hope you guys enjoy.
The industry lost a great one. And I mean, it's tough. You know, a lot of the actors who probably worked with him will probably speak on him on such a high level because, you know, he's made very memorable movies. And like you said, Marv, movies that stick with a lot of people in their childhood, or movies that no matter when they come on TV, what part of the movie they're in, you'll be like, oh, this is on? Let me keep watching because this movie.
A lot of the movies he made are the movies you can just sit and watch over
over. Four Brothers is one of the.
You just never get sick of it.
I definitely got that on DVD somewhere in my house.
I never got sick of Baby Boy.
Four Brothers is one of those movies you go to, your aunt's uncle's crib is just laying there.
You'd be like, oh, Four Brothers? Yeah, pop that in real quick. So, I mean.
It's a classic, man.
Yeah, it's a tough loss. You know, unfortunately, you know, his health and whatever else was going on with him, you know, took a toll on him. But shout out to John Singleton and all that he did in the industry, in terms of films. And, you know, definitely will be missed for sure. For sure, for sure.
And this just brings up, you know, the topic, like, when we start losing these guys, you know, we lost Singleton at the age of 51.
Mm-hmm.
At a very young age, but we need to start the praise that we're giving Singleton. We're going to be hearing about this praise for the next week or so about what he's done. You know, we bringing up the movies that he's done, but we need to start giving these praises to these people while they're alive. We need to really start giving roses to people while they're alive, because Singleton probably doesn't know how many people he's impacted. Like, this same, all these movies, one movie that we listed impacted you in some way.
He made the way for a lot of people.
A lot of people. And it sucks that, you know, it takes someone to go away from our lives for us to start to, you know,
appreciate them
and praise them. And, you know, personally, after Nip, I told myself that I'm just going to start telling people what they mean to me, or letting them know how much you affect my life or you affect other people's lives, because people need to hear that while they're still alive instead of after their death.
Exactly. I agree. I think he touched the lives of a lot of actors and actresses. I know, Mike, you had mentioned, you know, Tyrese and also Taraji P. Henson. Like, it wasn't until Baby Boy that she kind of took off. When Baby Boy hit, right, Taraji P. Henson and her career just went all the way up. And that right there, I know she was really grateful for John Singleton, and so was Samuel L. Jackson. Like, he had a lot of good things to say about him. I know they've done a lot of movies together, so I feel like his passing definitely, it touched the heart of a lot of people.
Yeah, so I'm looking at some of the actors that you mentioned who've done multiple, you know, movies and films with him. Tyrese has been in Baby Boy, Too Fast, Too Furious, and Four Brothers with Singleton. Ice Cube has been in Boys in the Hood, Higher Learning. Who else we have
here? Higher Learning, another underrated movie. That's that movie that comes
on
VH1.
And that's what I feel, like, John Singleton was, you can say about a lot of his movies. A lot of his movies were really underrated. But I feel like, depending on like how you grew up in the community you grew up in, especially for us as, you know, young African American, you know, young adults growing up, these movies were the movies that we, you know, looked up to, that we saw as, you know, iconic and as a legacy and as tradition. Like, these are our traditional movies, and I feel like, you know, the rest of the world might not view it the same way. Like, they're so underrated, and I feel like he should have received numerous awards for a lot of the other movies that he directed, like Higher Learning, you know?
And with those movies, a lot of those movies, you know, obviously his big break was in the early 90s, so we were kids.
A lot of these movies.
He was 24. 24.
He was 24 years old.
That's me right now.
Right, right.
Directing a movie. So
that's the shows.
Shout out to him, man.
He making me look.
So when we're kids watching this movie, we have a different understanding. Now when we go back and we watch this movie, we're gonna have a different understanding of the movie than when we were children watching it. And just you grow up with these movies, like Mike said, and it's, you know, we just got to celebrate his legacy and what he's done and how he's paved the way for many others to continue, like a Ryan Coogler, who was very young when he started his directed movie. So, you know, John Singleton, he's paved the way for these other young African-Americans to really come up and do things.
Yeah, and you just mentioned a guy like Ryan Coogler, and if there's any other young African-American directors out there, they can definitely just look at what he was able to accomplish in his life as really inspiration as to, hey, man, I hope to have a path similar to what John Singleton was able to do. And, you know, sometimes whenever you're young in whatever profession, you can look towards people that you want to emulate in a sense and say, hey, let me have my career kind of go in a direction similar to what that, you know, guy or girl was able to do and accomplish. You know, even if they're alive or dead, sometimes you look towards somebody as, hey, let me see and study what they're doing and be on that same trajectory going in that direction. So it's great in terms of looking back at what he was able to do and accomplish. You know, obviously people will talk about it more in his passing, but great life, a great list of accomplishments of things that he's done.
Either.
No,
not at all. It was nothing but positivity. I know. The only thing was that his movies were controversial. They talked about real things that were going on. So I know he was criticized for it as a director and, you know, kind of pushing these films out on that platform for people to watch and view and to understand, you know, where these communities are coming from and what they're dealing with and what's really going on, especially in the LA area with movies like Boys in the Hood. You know, I know they were very controversial, but as far as his passing, no one has had one bad thing to say about this man. I think that also speaks a lot to his legacy and, you know, the tradition that he left behind.
Right. And being so young, you know, that's why he has these friendships with all these actors, because he was their age, right. You know, working with them. Like, I saw some videos resurfacing today of him and Tupac just racing in the street, having a good time. And I was watching some of his interviews where he would just speak on his friendship with Pac and things like that. So, you know, he, being young, he was able to relate to all his people he was directing, all the people he was producing. That's huge.
And I think about what you're just saying, and you know, he's like you said, he's not that much older than these guys. Like, I think a guy like Ice Cube, who's probably in his mid 40s,
right, close to
80. He's not that far off from where John Singleton was in age. And you bring that to present day, you look at like Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan,
right?
You know, good friends, you know, making movies together, not too far off in age. You know, one guy's doing a great job as an actor, another guy's doing a great job as the director, and they're both somewhat still young in their career and trying to make their way. So it's a great connection like that to see, for sure. And hopefully it just continues where, you know, sometimes when you have a good director and a good, solid actor, they can put multiple movies together and make great movies come out, like the guys I listed, like Ice Cube or Tyrese or whoever the case may be. It's good to see. Absolutely.
That's right. Anything you want to add, Marv?
No, man, you know, rest in peace, John Singleton.
For sure.
He did leave behind 4 children, so, you know, our prayers go out to his kids.
Absolutely.
And everyone in his family. Definitely keep you updated if anything does come up as far as, you know, the funeral goes. I know this will be another big one in the industry where a lot of people will go, a lot of people want to show their prayers and then bless the family. So I know it's something that we should definitely be on the lookout for.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on. Tyreek Hill.
All right.
This is. Now, I know, like, we were talking a little bit before the show, and we just, like, he's not the best person or father, but we talked about him being a great player.
Right.
I don't understand how you can be such a great player and then go home to abusing your kid, you know, abusing your child. Now, the child is 3. And first the child was taken away from the home. Let's just give a little bit of background story. So the child was taken away from the home, the 3-year-old, had some bruises on him. And so then the recording comes out and it's him and the girlfriend. Now the girlfriend, she doesn't seem like she's all the way there with it. Like, I don't think she's comprehending, but she's saying things like, you know, he's terrified of you. And then Tyreek responds, and you should be terrified of me too, B. And right. Just ridiculous. It
sounds like a very toxic situation.
It does. It does. And then, Marv, I know you mentioned, you know, prior to that, he was also in a situation where he was choking his pregnant girlfriend.
While he was in college getting ready for the draft, it comes out that, you know, he was choking out his girlfriend while she was pregnant.
Yeah, and I remember hearing about that too. So he has an abusive history. These type of allegations, just you can't look past, because we've talked so much about, you know, sweeping things under the rug because this person is famous and this person has money. I just feel like, you know, here we are again talking about the safety of children, and no charges have been filed yet.
Right. As far as I'm concerned, Tyreek Hill's a trash individual. Mm. He's just a trash person. I mean, we keep constantly hearing something bad about Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. We hear about how he abuses his girlfriend, and that gets put aside. Then we hear about him still abusing women, but there's no proof or nothing of that nature, so it gets put aside. Then you hear about him beating his kid, 3-year-old kid, arm open, punching him in the chest. Then things start to add up. He's currently suspended from the Chiefs. And where do we get to a point where enough is enough? In my concern, he shouldn't even play football anymore.
Charges need to be filed.
And that it hurts for me to say that, to tell someone that they shouldn't play football no more, like telling someone their employment should get taken away. But these things are true. There's something not right with Tyreek Hill. I remember last year, Mike and I did a show. This past couple months, Mike and I did a show on Patriots Roundtable where he played in the Patriots game, right? And when he celebrated his touchdown, he ran into the stands and the Patriots fan threw beer at him. And then the whole thing came up as, does Tyreek Hill that deserve that? And I believe we both came to his defense and saying no player should ever get treated like that, getting beer thrown in their face and things. And, you know, other people's arguments were, he choked out his girlfriend, who cares about him, this, that, and the third. And these are, when you continue to do these type of things, that's why people can imagine and think of players as just animals.
Right.
You know?
So do you still stand by that statement of, you know, him not deserving to have beer?
Of course. No player.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not changing my take on that. But I'm saying, when you continue to have actions like this, you know, people already hate you, who don't like you, who don't see you as a human as they should see you as a human, you give them fuel. You give them fire to this. And I can't defend Tyreek Hill anymore from what I'm hearing. Even, yes, he didn't admit that he punched his kid,
right? He's denying it.
But mm-hmm. while he was talking, he didn't deny it either. He said, hey, you whip your kid, though. You whip him with the belt.
This is a 3-year-old we're talking about, too.
3-year-old.
This is a baby. Bruises.
Yeah.
Three.
I think it comes to a point where, you know, say what you want about the NFL and how they've handled situations in the past when it comes to a player that is abusing children or abusing women or involved in domestic violence. And sometimes you see in the NFL handle situations certain ways and there's been a lot of backlash or why they handle like this or this player should deserve this type of punishment. I think it comes to a point where not only the NFL, but any other league, it comes to a point where you just have to make a stand where you need to have zero tolerance in terms of, and this is just my opinion, you know, if there's a player who's going through some kind of domestic violence situation and it's known that they're putting their hands on women or they're putting their hands on children, and, you know, the child abuse thing, I'm going to get to that a little bit later. But when it gets to a point where it's abuse and charges could possibly be filed and whatnot, it gets to a point where if you're the NFL, the commissioner, whatnot, you just have to say, look, this person is going to be indefinitely suspended till they go through everything outside of the league and go through that process before they can even sniff an NFL field, a jersey, anytime soon. There shouldn't be any kind of leeway because, you know, right now, the Chiefs suspended him from, like, team activities or whatnot.
Yeah, team activities.
It's not like official, like...
The NFL has...
Does that mean he can still... So he can still play in the game?
No, he cannot play.
He's suspended. He's suspended.
So what is team activities? Like,
he can't be a part of anything with the organization at the moment. That's just what it means.
And eventually what's going to happen, he's going to be put in the NFL exempt list. And it's pretty much the go-away list. You know, right now we currently have Josh Gordon from the New England Patriots on that list. When you put on the exempt list, it's indefinite. There's no saying when you can play again. But right now the NFL hasn't gotten involved, but the team has gotten involved.
And which is stupid to me. The NFL, I mean, yeah, he's a player for the Kansas City Chiefs, but at the end of the day, you're under the NFL umbrella. The NFL should come out and say something. Don't wait for the Chiefs to say, right, well, we'll let the Chiefs handle it. Tyreek Hill is still a representative of the NFL.
Exactly.
So at the end of the day, the NFL needs to come out and make a statement because it's their league. They have to control these situations. And like I said, in my opinion, put their foot down on what's taking place with these players.
That's true.
Now, the whole child abuse situation, like our guy Dirk just said, he supposedly broke his three-year-old child's arm.
And the three-year-old child said to the mother, when she asked him what happened to your arm, the child said, "Daddy did it."
Broke the child's arm. The child has bruising. Now, the NFL recently went through a similar situation like this with Adrian Peterson. And I'm going to speak from my point of view in terms of child abuse and whatnot. Parents going to beat their kids. And when I say that, it's just a way of punishment. Not breaking a kid's arm, not putting bruises on them, so if they have to walk around with a limp or a black eye or a bubbled lip or something like that, that's a whole nother level of saying, look, my child is behaving poorly and I need to discipline them in a certain way.
But I feel like a lot of parents kind of cross that line. It's
that's,
like,
that's the
is
thing.
It discipline or is it abuse?
That's the
you
thing.
Know? Like, so, I used to think I got beat when I was little. My grandmother take the rag and
It happens. Right. There's a way to discipline your kid by, you know, giving them a spank on the bottom or, you know, hitting their leg or their thigh or whatever.
Pop on the mouth.
You know, quick little pop like
this. I go, hey.
There's a way to do a quick little something like, you better watch it. You better, you know,
exactly.
it's quick. And there's another thing to, in Tyreek Hill's situation, tell the kid to open his arms and punch him in the chest. That's a whole different level of how to handle, you know, punishing your child who's having behavior issues, if that's the case.
When your parents discipline you physically, it's supposed to be for you to respect them.
Not fear them.
Yes, exactly.
The child is fearful. You know, and I think that's where the line got crossed.
I think
it's no longer discipline. Now you're terrorizing a three-year-old.
Like you two just said, and me as well, if your grandmother, your mother ever hit you, whatever, did you go around the house, whatever, in fear of your mom? I mean, you probably felt bad about what you did, but you're not going to go to bed and wake up the next morning and be scared to see your mom walking in the kitchen or the living room or something. You know, it's a difference. Like you said, it's one thing to put fear in somebody's eyes of being in their presence. Another thing to be like, well, I maybe shouldn't take those cookies out the jar again because it's not dinner time yet. Like, it's a huge difference.
Also, as much as, you know, yes, we got disciplined when we were younger physically, times have changed.
Oh, yeah.
In 2000,
you can't do that no more.
In 2019, like, yeah. That's not something you can go into the bar and be like, oh, I just beat my kid's ass. And, like, you know, maybe 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah, I took that belt off and beat the black off of her.
So, because at first, in our generation, it's what? Our parents disciplined us, right? The generation before that, the teachers disciplined the kids.
Oh, yeah. My parents tell me stories all the time and get hit in the classroom.
My parents always tell me about how the teachers used to be. Now, times are changing to the point where if you even discipline your kids physically, it's wrong. It's seen as wrong. Yeah. And you know, everyone's adapting to that. So to see how you're disciplining a baby.
Three-year-old
baby.
That's another thing. You're this sick. Is a baby. You're like, sick. Is that...
But then it goes back to like the R. Kelly situation, right? Where we see him abuse people. And we spoke how hurt people. How was Tyreek raised? What happened to him? How was
he? Very true.
And that we have to start thinking about that as well as like, because Derek even said it, he's not well in the head. So where's this coming from for you to have to discipline to your kid that much that he's fearful of you? To you breaking his arm, it's punching a baby?
Yeah. What happened?
How do you punch a three-year-old? I still can't fully comprehend.
And you know what? This reminds me of when we were talking about the whole Tiger Woods scandal and how does his personal life, you know, affect his career? Like, and you brought up the fact, Mike, that the NFL should step in. I feel like this is one of those situations where the NFL needs to step in. Whereas before with Tiger Woods and the whole personal life thing, I didn't necessarily agree with it. But I feel like situations like this, that's the example that we need to be using. Like, okay, you need to step in now because this is something that he needs to go to jail for. Because infidelity happens all the time. Somebody can't get locked up for that. That's not a crime. But this, abusing a child, is a crime. And I think that's where that difference comes in, where, you know, your job actually needs to step in and take action. Whereas before with the whole infidelity issue, I don't necessarily agree with that as much. But with this, I think he needs to be disciplined. He needs to be locked up for this because that's not right.
And clearly, you know, his girlfriend or wife or whatever, she's not in a good space too, because like I think you mentioned this before, the child's not with either of them right now.
Yeah.
No.
The child is not with either of them. Can't be with the father because he's punching you in the chest and breaking your arm. You can't be with the mother because
she agrees with discipline.
That is not discipline. That is abuse. And prior to that, the cops were called to the home twice before. Twice. This right. isn't the first time. Mm-hmm. This isn't unheard of. The cops were called before twice. And in both those situations, the police felt a crime had happened. However, still, no charges have been brought against Tyreek Hill.
I mean, and it's tough. With the Tyreek Hill situation, this is all on the baby, right? To say what happened or not.
But so how do you put all that on a three-year-old?
Exactly.
It's tough.
Is there enough evidence to punish Tyreek to where you say he needs to, you know, pay criminally? Because we don't know. Even in the phone call, he didn't deny, he didn't admit. Everything's off of he say, she say. There's no, mm-hmm. yes, there's physical evidence of the kid being hurt, but who did it?
Right. Because he can say she did it, she can say he did it.
Either, whether you want to go off of that he said, she said, or trying to depend on what the three-year-old can recount or whatever the case with him is, like Dirk, who's been making a lot of solid comments, Tyreek Hill has a history of abuse.
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
That should weigh a lot right there in terms of possibly wanting to file charges against him or whatever you want to do. The fact that he has a history of abuse, you said this earlier, Marv, talking to us. Going back to college before he got drafted, he got in trouble for what, strangling his girlfriend at the time?
Who was pregnant. Like, this man has no type of morals whatsoever.
It's so just based off his history, that should hold enough weight to say, all right, something needs to be done about this guy. Because I don't care what kind of history he has in his life or what he was brought up with. You got to handle what's in front of you now. And the fact is, he's an abuser. And he's abused his girlfriend, his wife, or he's abusing his children. This is a personality trait of Tyreek Hill that is kind of obvious to see right now with him. So that needs to hold some kind of weight in looking at who this guy is and what he's been doing.
I agree. I have a question for you guys, because I know Marv mentioned the fact that, you know, in this era, in this time, that disciplining your kids isn't as heavily enforced or even done by parents as it was back then. And I just want to know, like, when you guys have kids, do you guys plan on disciplining them? Or are you going to be more of a vocal disciplinary you have,
you adapt. You adapt with, yeah, with the times.
I cannot do what my mom used to do to me. I know for a fact. I love that my mom dearly, but I know the way she used to let me have it. And I wasn't a saint. I deserved.
I loved how I was raised.
Yeah, I deserve what I got, and you know, it helped me become the man I am today. On top of that, it helped me love and respect my parents much more because, you know, I learned from their discipline. But with that being said, I can't do that in the day and age that we're in right now because I'd probably be in jail if I did what my mom was doing to me.
So jail wasn't a factor, if you wouldn't be in jail, would you discipline? Would you basically, you know, discipline the way that you were disciplined?
I think there's levels to it.
Cause I think people are different. Like, everyone wants to raise their child their own way, right, and put, yeah, their own rules in place. And I think that even if you don't necessarily do it the way your parents did, that doesn't mean the way your parents did it is wrong.
Yeah.
That just means that you want to do it your own way. And I think that's fine.
Of course. I like to answer the question, not just adapt with the times, because you have to understand, like, it wouldn't be the norm anymore. Once we have kids, it starts. This research now that's come out with what happens when you hit, you know, everything.
They grow up to be, yeah.
Everything has come out.
Everything's analyzed.
Everything. That's where we are in the world. And something that seems normal to us now, in 20 years, they're gonna look at it like, whoa, that was not the right way
that
to handle
so
it.
So wrong.
So you just adapt with the times, and you have to. You want the best for your kids at the end of the day.
Absolutely.
You want the best way. You'll find different ways to discipline kids. You know, not now kids can't do nothing without their phones. Right. Like, you take away a kid's phone.
That's discipline enough.
They'd rather get
hit. They're crying. Beat me. Don't take my phone. But then back to the other point that you made, Marv, about how, you know, before it was okay when teachers would discipline students. Do you think... Now, this is just like a hypothetical question because, of course, it's not happening now. But, like, I feel like if teachers still had that authority to put their hands on a student, I think the school system today would be a lot different, especially in Boston. Because you guys
teachers get messed up.
That's what
I'm saying. Yeah, for real.
People are worried about the students and the teachers because right. these kids these days. But I'm saying to you, and that's why I think that if the teachers were still able to do that, the schools... today, at least in Boston, would be different, you know.
When you say different, though, you mean
I think that if that was allowed, I don't, because you guys know a lot of schools in Boston are closing down. Westie's closing. What other schools like recently closed? Like, they're shutting down. Like, it's just out of hand, you know. And it just brought up the idea that what if they were able to discipline the students? Do you think that
I feel like
it would be different? Marv thinks the teachers would be getting jacked.
Nah, but like if you say you had a school where the parents signed consent forms saying, look, if my kid is acting up, you have permission.
The right to take off like, your belt obviously and you remove can't, skin.
If it gets to a certain level, obviously the teachers can't like force it.
Because I think be that one to
yeah,
force
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's where the trouble would come
one,
into it.
The consent form, it needs to be on a 1 to 5 scale. 1 being you pop them on the lip.
Oh my
5
goodness,
being you remove the skin from their behind.
My
now,
God.
I'm going to circle a 3 because that right there is right there in the middle, and that is enough to say, hey, you need to listen to your teacher, and hey, teacher, don't be forcing it on my kid, you know?
Big facts. A lot of comments coming in. First, Sam said that's how they do it in the islands.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, even in the West Africa, that's how they still do it in some places. You know, the teachers do it, but it's different in third world countries compared to America, where
right.
in those countries, it's really everyone's a community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone if. Someone can watch your kids and you'll be fine and you know that you'll discipline Mike. You can't do that here with your...
Nah.
You don't know your neighbors like that.
Nah.
You don't know... America's just a effed up place. You know, you
right.
can't do that
yeah.
compared to other countries here. We got Kayla saying there's definitely a generation difference when it comes to using physical force as discipline. This is surely abuse rather than positive reinforcement. Def need to look into his childhood history, like I was saying.
Absolutely.
Something was there.
Something had to happen.
Because you just... it's.
Or he's had too many concussions.
23,
like,
24.
He's a young guy.
Young dude. He knows that this isn't the right way. And then for him to threaten his girlfriend, like, you should be scared too?
What's wrong with you?
He's an abuser. He's an abuser. Talking like... acting like the way he's acted and then talking like that, that's evidence right there that something's going on with this guy.
What do you guys think should happen going forward with this whole Tyreek situation? Do you think charges need to be pressed against him? Or do you think the kid just needs to be removed from the home? Like, what do you think should happen going forward? I think that charges should be pressed against him. I feel as though, like, although it's, you know, clear to us that we see the abuses going on, there may be a lack of evidence, but I think that the police and the prosecution should definitely pursue gaining that evidence and building a case against him. I don't think they should just be like, oh, we have to wait until we have evidence. I think you need to get that. Don't wait for it to come to you, because then by then, this 3-year-old could end up in a hospital.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm reading some of the comments that are coming in. I agree with you 100%. Charges should be filed against him. You know, he has to understand that, look, what you're doing isn't right. Obviously, his childhood history, whatever the case, look into it. But he has to understand in this day and age, you know, with the system and charges being brought against him, what you're doing isn't right. You can't punch your kid in the chest.
You can't punch a 3-year-old.
You can't put bruises or break your kid's arm. Like, do you love your kid? Do you not care for your child and his well-being or and how his arm recovers or his chest? Like, he has to be put in a place where he really reflects on his approach. Because I mean, he's married, right? Is he planning on having more kids? How do you expect to raise the rest of your kids that you probably plan on having? You got to really understand what you're doing and how you're going about being a parent, being a father, and how your kids want to be, how you want to discipline your kids. Like you said, I think, Marv, you know, this is a day and age where you have to understand fully it's not going to go down like it did back in the day. You can't do that. We all know that. We don't have kids. You can't do that. So I was going to say that, Marv, but I didn't.
Y'all two are really on it today. Marv, what do you think should happen going forward with him?
I think both you guys said it eloquently. I'll just talk about his employment right now. Like I said, think he's trash. Don't think he deserves to be in the NFL no more. I'm all for second chances. You had that second chance when the Chiefs drafted you after knowing you choked out your girlfriend, you know, after knowing everyone knows about your history, your past, and for you to continue becoming an abuser, that means you have a problem. That means you need to seek help. You need to go away. And at a young age, 23, 24, wherever you are, fix your life. Get your things together. Almost cuss. Mm-hmm. Get your things together, and you know.
Don't make Marv cuss.
Hey, don't get him started, because he'll keep going. That.
Oh man! All right, let's. Anything else from the comments that we want to add on this before we move on to the topic?
People are talking about, you know, a guy West chimed in and said he went to a Catholic school and he used to hear stories about nuns beating kids with rulers. And then girl Tatiana saying how nuns would make kids put their hands on the desk and hold it while they put in work with the ruler, whatever the case may be. So goes back to teachers putting their hands on kids. Would you allow it? Are you for it, against it? I don't think I'd let a teacher.
I'm telling you, I will circle a 3.
Just let the C-Mac, teacher.
Maybe a 2.5.
You're not letting no one.
You would go to school
kids.
And then your child come home and say, "Mommy, Miss or Mister So and So beat me today because I did this." You'd be like, "That's what you get."
Not going to say that's what you get, but I feel as though, you know,
T-Mac, wow.
Just listen, I'm not going to say nothing crazy. I'm just saying that looking at the students in this day and age, it just seems like a lot of these kids need a good, can I say ASS?
Yeah.
And need a good ass whooping. Like, baby, I'm lying.
Teacher, call my phone, text my phone, let me know my kid.
My thing is that, like, obviously, my kids are going to be angels. They're not going to need that. You know, I probably won't even need to have to sign a form like that, you know? But, you have those kids who are just out of control, the bullies, and you just need to give them a good spank.
Nah, no teacher touching my kid. Call my phone.
Not at all.
Hit me up. And I do what my mom did. I was acting up in school, and then you ever had the door with the glass door? I'd be laughing, talking to my friends, and look to my left. My mom just standing there posted at the door watching me. Just watching me. And that's how I knew.
Might get real scared.
When they call the house and you just know what's going to happen when you're on the bus.
I was bad because if I ever pick up the house phone, I knew as a teacher. I said,
she not home right now.
Hello? Either they not home Why try to act like my dad? It didn't work out too well in my favor.
No, listen,
when
my school, they used to send letters in the mail. So I used to try to beat the mailman from dropping it off at the door. So I used to go, yes, the mail, that's it. I'll take it. Flip through, make sure none of my forms was in there. If it was, take it out, rip it up, throw it away. Voicemails.
Hi, you be praying delete. That you lose your voice. Delete. So when you go home, hi, this is Mrs. Smith.
Voicemail deleted.
Ah, man.
No, but it's definitely different nowadays. But I think that something needs to be done with Tyreek Hill, because I think he definitely crossed the line with discipline. And that right there is considered child abuse. All right. So we got to move on to topic number 3, which is dating a friend's ex.
Well.
Now, in my opinion,
is it okay?
It violates girl code, bro code, whatever you want to call it. It's a violation.
Yeah, I'm not a girl. Marv's not a girl.
On girl code.
What's the girl code? Let the people know.
Don't do it. It's a no. It's a negative.
Never.
Never.
Not even a 1 or 2% chance that it can happen.
Nope. That's a violation.
Okay, so let me ask you something with your girl code and everything. I'm not saying this is my point of view. This is just to play devil's advocate a little bit.
You love playing devil's advocate.
You know, why not? Play devil's advocate. Right. Marv game comes with it. Someone gotta talk on it. Marv, you know, people gonna talk on it. Someone's gonna talk on it. Say you was with somebody, whatever, long or short, and it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And you got your homegirl.
Mm-hmm.
However, it could have ended terribly, sure. You got your homegirl. Some time has passed. That dude is trying to talk to your homegirl. Your homegirl, out of respect for you, comes up to you and says, look, so-and-so is trying to talk to me. I know you guys ended on bad terms. You have nothing to do with him.
Negative.
You deleted his number, email, Snap, Instagram.
No.
You got nothing to do. You don't see him anymore. It's been months. Nothing. If she came to you out of respect for you, like, T-Mac, you're my homegirl. I want to know how you feel about this. I know this guy. He's pretty much, you know, out of your life completely. How do you feel of me and him? Nothing?
Let me tell you something, all right? It's a negative. If you my friend, then you my friend, all right? First, you can't just, that just don't even sound right. And, like, my friends wouldn't even have the audacity to ask me that, because they, real friends know, like, I could never just out of respect for my friend, you know?
But is it at least respectful that they asked?
But yeah, brought it to your attention, sat you down and said, look.
Honestly, I could see why some people might think it's respectful to ask, but for other girls, that might be disrespectful, because the fact that you had the nerve to ask that, and we're supposed to be close friends, and you asking me about my ex who I dealt with, like, and if it was a bad breakup or a good breakup, it don't matter. That's still my ex, like, and we supposed to be friends. Like, how that's gonna look, you know, y'all get married, I'm sitting in the wedding, like, what? No, it's a violation.
Hey.
It's a vibe.
I agree with you
100%. And I feel like real friends don't do that. Real friends don't need to do that, because at the end of the day, they're going to have their friends back. They're going to be in their friends' corner. They don't need to go get with their ex. And girls who do that.
Should I ask this to her? Or you want
what?
Me?
What? Ask what?
I think a comment.
I'm just a listener right now.
A comment's coming in. This is for you. It ain't for me. This comment's coming in, I guess, trying to understand the girl code aspect or whatever. What if they're not trying to date? But what if they just want to be a little extra friends with benefits?
Hell no.
You wouldn't have to worry about sitting at the wedding or anything. They just
no. Wanna... You can go be have friends with benefits with any other dude. Why would you do it with my ex? And then expect for me and you to still be friends? How'd that sound?
But you don't care about the person, right?
It don't matter. It's the principle. All right? If we got respect for each other as friends, you can go have friends with benefits with somebody else, with almost anybody else.
Plenty of fish in the
exactly.
sea.
Why would you do it with plenty your friend's of tuna in the ex? That's just a slap in your friend's face. That's disrespectful.
I so, agree with you 100%.
Kayla coming in agreeing with you, girl code. We do not recycle exes within our own friend group.
You sure don't. I know, Kayla, I agree with you. Like, these girls out here be tripping. Like, that is crazy. If that is what you're doing, then y'all are not friends. You do not have no respect for your friend. Because even if your friend says, no, I don't mind, it's okay. Deep down, everybody's gonna have that thought, like, dang, like, why would my friend want to even do that? Or dang, why would my friend even ask me that? Or why would she even take that into consideration? That is something that friends do not do.
I was
point
just,
blank, period.
I was just playing devil's advocate, but I agree with you 100%. I don't think I would ever see myself in a position to try to talk to one of my boys' ex. I was actually in a situation where one of my former boys messed with my ex. And the day I found that out, I tell you, I haven't talked to that dude since.
It messes up everything. It kills the friendship.
I haven't talked to that dude since.
Like, say you want to go and you just want to, you know, talk a little quick, little trash about that ex. Like, oh, when I was with that person. You know, you can't even do that. It's like you just wrecked a whole friendship and just disrespected your friendship. Like, that to me just doesn't make any sense. Like, that's just, is wrong.
All
right. Marv, you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I soaked in all the information. You know, what it comes down to, listen, girls, I know when you guys get together, you guys talk about y'all relationships and things like that. Men do the same thing. When we hang out and stuff, oh, man, shorty's tripping, man. This, that, and the third. If you're dating my ex, how does that even work? That just eliminates all talks on girls right away. Because when you're in your group, you're not going to want to talk about...
What about when y'all go out? Exactly. Oh, my girl coming with me. What? My ex is coming with
it,
you?
It eliminates...
What?
It can never happen. Because I'm just trying to picture a scenario if it were to be allowed, right? Obviously, y'all don't allow it. It's not even something I could even process or think of. But if it were to happen, I'm trying to understand, how does the friendship continue to move on? Like, you right there, we can only just talk about sports. Because what else are we talking about? What else are we continuing to move on from? I just don't understand how that happens.
Yeah, like I said, in my situation, that dude who I used to be cool with, haven't talked to him since. You know, it's been a wrap on our friendship, because how the hell am I supposed to interact with you knowing that you messing or mess? I didn't even know the situation fully. I didn't really care to find out. No, but I said, oh, yeah, bet. And that was it on.
If he had came to you and asked you or told you, would it even be different?
If he came and asked me before he even
brought it to your attention, like how you just brought it to me. Like, if she was like, hey, T-Mac, like, you know, and you ain't dealing with him no more. Like, is it okay? Or even like the whole friends with, like, if he came to you and asked you or brought it to your attention, like, hey, Mike, just out of respect for you, I'm talking to so and so. Oh, hey, Mike, out of respect for you, is it okay if I talk to so and so? Would it be any different?
Nah, it's not happening.
Exactly.
Because me, and if you reverse that in me, if my boy's ex trying to come on to me, I'm shutting that down ASAP. Before there's any kind of jump to any inclination of a possibility of, oh, Mike, it wouldn't even get to me having to go up to one of my boys and say, hey, homegirl trying to talk. It's not even going to get to that.
I'm shutting it down from the jump. You shut it down. If you have real respect, real love for your boy, you don't entertain it.
Not even a little.
If that's your real friend, right, and he brings his girl around to hang out with you guys, all of a sudden, me personally, I treat my boys like my brothers.
Facts. Mm-hmm.
So you bring your girl around, she's automatic. Even if she's cool with us, that's my sister. Yeah. Like, I treat her like a sister. Oh, what's good? Bang, that's it. You know, it doesn't get any closer like that. You can tell your boy, hey man, that's a nice catch. You did a great job. This, that, and the third. But once, and if it happens to be over, it's over.
Don't get messy. Plenty of my friends' exes try to talk to me on the low. Even my family members' exes. Like it gets out of hand. But like, it's up to you, and it speaks a lot to your character and the person you are, whether or not you choose to entertain that and kind of run with it, or you shut it down. And me personally, I shut it down. Like, it's no bueno. Not happening.
So Wes brings a new wrinkle into this. All right.
Mr. Wes.
Wes. If your friend and their partner were just talking, you know, nothing serious, probably just messing around, then maybe you get the green light. But with you, definitely have to ask to make sure. So now we're not talking relationship. It was maybe a one-time fling, or, you know, you guys messed around for a little bit, but nothing serious. How does, for girl code, we'll go with you first, T-Mac. How do you guys approach that?
You got to determine that situation. If depends on just messed around. Like, what do you mean by messed around? I feel it was very situational.
It wasn't to the point where you just went to your girls like, oh, I just met this guy. I think he's the one. It was just y'all just messed around. It wasn't nothing crazy.
Nah, I can't. I'm sorry.
So
he don't mean a near, not a nothing to you, but he just.
It's just, for me personally, like, that's just not my character. Like, I can't. Like, I've had friends who, like, oh, we just talk, never. Nah, you was talking to my girl. I can't. Like, it's just not me. Like, it's really, I don't like
that. But if your friend was to talk to someone yet, you would just, nothing serious, you don't even care about the dude, you still feel some type?
Nah, but I'm saying, like, for me to do that.
No, not for you to do
it. If my friends did it to me, yes, for a guy that I spoke to, but didn't, like, necessarily do anything with, and it was nothing.
Even if you did something. Even if you guys did something.
Nah, that's a violation.
Violation.
It's a violation. I don't. It don't even go a little bit with me. Like, I don't like none of that. Like, and all my girls know that. Like, all me and all my friends, like, we got nothing but respect for each other. And I feel like we know, like, the principle behind everything. So, like, it will never come down to a situation where, you know, we have to even think about it. Like, oh, he used to talk to my... Nah, I'm good. I don't even need to know what happened. I don't even care to know if it was nothing or if it was something. You used to talk to my girl, whatever it was, I'm good. Like, that's just me and my circle.
That's T-Mac. I respect it.
That's girl code.
That's girl code.
Well, that's T-Mac code.
That's T-Mac.
That's some people T-Mac code.
Some people probably agree. Some people probably disagree.
Definitely.
But.
Listen,
it's better to be safe than sorry. You don't want to mess up a good friendship over something that could be nothing. Or you just don't want to do
that. But that's why.
Especially a good friendship.
Conversation matters, though, as well. If it just didn't work out with you and you have no feelings toward this person whatsoever, and your friend might really dig this person, you still would be mad about it?
I wouldn't be mad.
You just would feel like it's a no-go.
But I would just be like, all right, it's noted, you know? Like,
would you lose your friend?
Would my friend want to lose me? Like, that's just, you know, like, you want to lose a good friend to me, girl. What are you doing out here? Like, you could have, that's the thing. Like a lot of people in the comments just said, like, there's plenty of fish in the sea. You don't need to be double dipping. Like, there's a guy out there for you. It don't need to be my ex or somebody I need to talk to. And that's vice versa for me and all my friends. Like, I wouldn't do that. I just feel like it doesn't matter the situation or how little it was or how much they don't care. It's like, that's still awkward because whenever they come around, it's like, dang, like, y'all used to chat, right? Like, I stay away from it. I stay away from all the drama and all that sticky situation. I stay away from it. I don't know about y'all, because, you know, Marv earlier was talking about he might have some kids out there he don't know about. So
I said that.
Rewind the camera. Rewind the clip. Marv, that. Yeah, he hinted at it. Him and Mike. Look at him.
Well.
About y'all, though? Enough of me. What about y'all? What's y'all code? Y'all okay with that?
I mean, I just gave you a prime example of a friendship that is no more in my life.
But that was a relationship.
She's
talking a fling thing.
A fling thing. Well, I mean,
I feel like with guys is different.
Yeah, I'll say
it's a different levels to a fling thing, though.
Like, guys is way different because y'all.
It's different levels to a fling thing.
Y'all would mess with the same girl and pass her around the crew. Like, y'all be okay with that?
It's different levels to a fling thing.
Go ahead, Mike. I'm gonna let Mike speak. I'm just listening. Go ahead, Mike.
It's different levels to a fling thing.
You see how he laughing?
Go ahead, Mike. I'm letting Mike speak.
Cause he know he done did that.
Nah, what I'm saying is,
go ahead, Mike.
Too Marv gonna let me speak. Listen, what I'm saying is, you could be at a level of on the verge of possibly dating somebody, or it could be just nothing serious. And I think if it's nothing serious, where you're saying, T-Mac, even if there's a tiny bit of connection, there's no type of nothing going on. Where I think in guys' situations sometimes, if it's not anything on the level of, well, this is about to be my girl, or this is about to, I see myself spending the rest of my life with them or something like that, then there's no real connection in a sense. I mean, that's in some ways how it could be.
Okay, so Marv used to talk to a girl. Okay, wasn't nothing serious. Here and there, whatever. Girl come around. Now she wanna talk to you. Mike, Marv is your friend, longtime friend. It was nothing serious. He don't care. She don't care. But you still gonna do that?
If there was nothing serious and Marv don't
care. You get out of here.
If it was nothing serious and Marv don't care.
You what? Still would.
Marv's my bro.
All right then. That's what I'm saying. Y'all are friends.
Yeah.
Same chick. This is a situation. You gonna do that?
Marv's my bro. I'm gonna have a conversation with my bro.
So you decide to have the conversations. You gonna have that conversation.
If it's bro, if it's family, you could talk to somebody about it. I'm not. You see, girl code kind of funny because girl, she did that. And, you know, they might talk behind.
Like I said, with guys, it's different because y'all will pass around the same girl. No, I don't care.
We have a conversation like, oh, is this your shorty? This is you, or like it's a conversation that's gonna be had.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Listen, I asked you a yes or no question. Chick talk tomorrow.
I said, yeah, a conversation. Yes, a conversation will be had about it.
I asked you about no conversation. I asked you
yes
or a no. I asked you about no conversation. Stop trying to sugarcoat it.
I'm not sugarcoating. I'm telling you how it unfolded.
So, yes.
Yeah, a conversation
No. Keep that conversation word. I want it point blank, period.
Marv, right? A conversation would happen.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you.
It would only be... It'd only be weird unless if the conversation didn't happen. So, same scenario that you just said, right? Little fling ting, you know what I'm saying? Little Johnny.
What is a fling ting? Y'all keep saying this.
I just made that up. No, the little fling ting. Nothing serious. Nothing serious. We cool. No feelings towards each other whatsoever. Mike comes up to me and was like, yo, I know you messed with so and so. What was it like? It really wasn't something. It didn't work out. Nothing like that. Hey man, I think we might be feeling each other. Blah blah. Oh bro, if that's Mark's my brother. If that's a girl for him or something.
I don't like it.
It's conversation.
I don't like it.
You don't like people having a conversation about a situation?
No, I don't like it.
Why?
You'd
rather just talk mess behind someone's back about it?
I don't like it.
You don't like conversations being had to understand what's going on. That's what you... No. Am I wrong?
No. Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're very wrong.
I'm so sorry.
You're always wrong.
Hey,
anyways, we gotta wrap this up.
It's your world, T-Mac. I'm just living in it.
It's a no for me. It's a yes for Marvin Mike. So what? That's just what it is.
Whoa.
Let's move on to our last topic.
False.
Of this.
No. Don't. False.
Don't do that.
False.
Moving on to the last topic.
Sheesh.
Y'all gonna give your last opinion or not?
Yeah. I said what you said is false.
My last opinion. It's never cool to ever date your friend's ex, your friend that's in your friend group at all. It's never cool, nothing like that. Now, if it was a fling ting, you know, look it up, Urban Dictionary. I started it.
People want to know, Marv.
If it's just a fling ting,
definition.
Tatiana already handled it for me. She said fling ting, nothing serious. We cool, no feelings toward each other. She handled it. Perfect. Thank you, Tati. We love you for that. So if it's just a fling ting, and we have a conversation, a quick convo. I personally don't think it'd be an issue with that.
With an ex?
No. I said fling ting, not ex. Come on, Tati.
The question here on the show is dating a friend's ex.
And then he shifted it.
That was the question.
And then I said that's not okay.
Okay. I mean, it's not like it was me. All right. Mike,
Marv, I agree. I'm reading the comments here. T-Mac, false. But continue, please. Final topic of the night.
Wrapping it up now that we know where everyone's loyalty lies.
Oh my gosh.
Chris Sale, pitcher for the Boston Red Sox, our hometown baseball team, he signed a $59 million contract.
Beast.
Okay?
Great money.
7-year contract.
Swing that to me.
You getting paid to do what? Right now?
Yeah.
Are you doing your job? Is he doing his job?
I tell you, the man's not. Straight up.
I tell you.
let me break it down for y'all. and Chris Sale. Red Sox, you know, they're struggling on the season, bouncing off a World Series championship win. But Chris Sale, who's the ace, best pitcher on the staff, he's struggling. Six starts. He's made six starts on the season. The man is 0-5. That means he has lost five games out of those six possible starts with the ERA of 6.30.
That's not good.
That's terrible.
Horrible.
And this is a guy, like I said, he's the ace of the staff. He's supposed to be the number one guy on the staff. When they have the opening day rosters and, you know, usually on the first game of the season, they say, our best pitcher is going to pitch game one. He's the best pitcher. He went out there game one. He sucked game one, and he sucked ever since. And is it because he's injured? Is because, you know, sometimes they say people, once they get their money, they don't really care anymore. And that goes across any sport, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, hockey, whatever sport. Sometimes you get paid, and that player says, hey, I got my guaranteed money. I don't need to really lock in anymore. Is that the case with Chris Sale? He's never given off that type of attitude and personality of a he's always, since he's arrived to the Red Sox, he's always seemed as a player that's, look, I'm locked in. I love baseball. I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate about pitching and pitching really well. It's never seemed, he's never seemed like a guy where, well, you know, I'm trying to make that money. He never was an Isaiah Thomas talking about back up the Brinks truck so I could get paid next season. It's never been about that for him. But obviously, due to his talent and what he was able to do on the baseball field, he got paid a lot of money. But it sucks now that
he paid all this money and he's not delivering.
And the weird thing about Sale is after every game, he just, yeah, man, I just suck. Yeah, I'm so, I don't know what's going on. I suck. Like, he keeps, it's so sad to watch him talk. It's just there's so much pity. It's like, I don't know what to say to you guys. Every time you guys talk to me, I'm a broken record because I suck. And he's sucking right now. I mean, who knows? The Red Sox in the whole not playing well. What's their record?
12 wins, 17 losses.
Yeah, they're not looking good right now. They're still hungover. But hey.
Right?
They did their job. They started it off with the championship ring. So we just need the Patriots. I mean, Patriots followed suit with their championship. So now we just need the Bruins and Celtics, you know, close it on.
This is a stretch right here where, you know, all four teams can get it done in their season, in their current season. You know, like you said, Red Sox got it done for the 2018 season. The Patriots got it done for the 2018 season. Now the Bruins and Celtics are in their 2018-19 season. It's a possibility.
Right, I'll take it. If Red Sox have to sacrifice their season for 2019, the Soul Stone. And just wash it all away.
For the Celtics and Bruins
Celtics and Bruins to get one, so be it.
Would you be fine? Would you so
we're gonna take that
so what
L.
If it's only one sacrifice? The Patriots are sacrificing right now. I mean, sorry. The Red Sox probably sacrificing
y'all
right now.
On y'all mind, y'all keep saying the Patriots.
They just had the draft, so it's a lot going on.
The
Red Sox suck. You say maybe it's a sacrifice for the Celtics. Should the Patriots suck next season to sacrifice? For one of the
hell no, too far, Mike.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
You're talking about sacrifice. Right, we're just gonna leave it at that.
You just said sacrifice. Let me just say.
Listen, we only need one sacrifice.
Speaking of Celtics, they are on at the moment right now as we are recording at 9 p.m. So we gotta wrap this.
We sure
up.
Do.
Any final words?
Apparently, I'm the only good friend on this show.
That's crazy.
That's all I got to say.
Oh, my God.
And apparently, having a conversation with friend is a
negative. I just want to go and, you know, rest in peace, John Singleton.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Please, somebody press some charges against Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
I'm a loyal friend, and Chris Hale need to be fired. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah,
maybe Chris Hale's Chris a lawyer or something.
See, maybe if he was playing better, I would remember his last name.
Sheesh. My goodness.
That's a bar. But, yo, thank you, everyone for watching, tuning in. commenting. You guys make this show so special. Absolutely. Week in and week out, and we appreciate all of you guys.
Shout out to the ladies in the comments. Shout out to the ladies. I need some females on my side. So tell your friends, tell a friend, tell the good friends, the ones that won't mess with your ex, to tune into the show. You know, put their two cents in the comments.
Educate
you
know, us. Shout out. Educate us. Every week, I feel like I'm getting smarter and smarter about the girl code, and I love it.
Yeah, so learning a lot from T-Mac.
I try to teach y'all as much as I can. You
okay,
know.
Hold on. Slow down.
It's just, it's hard out here.
He gave you a little compliment or something. You just take it in.
It's Mike Nice.
Your boy.
It's T-Mac.
Hello.
I'm DJ Mees. This is the Double M Show, where the urban life and sports collide. We appreciate y'all. We'll see you guys here again next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Peace.
Bye.